If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
It's 6:39, Mondays at this time. It's a house call from Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most, how was the golf last week? Everything work out okay?
Yeah, Bob, it did. It was a great event, as I'm sure Dave Ennett was smiling watching the finish. But yeah, it was a wonderful event, and the Western Golf Association, Evan Scholars, and that team of John Keskowski and Vince Pellegrino and Patrick Timpson did a great job, and Chicago should be very proud.
I want to ask you about the story that was in the news the other day, the headline, "With late summer cases stubbornly high, Illinois faces a perfect storm of COVID-19 risk this fall." This was based on some research done at a Philadelphia medical center that's tracking COVID-19 in hundreds of counties nationwide. And in part, the report said Illinois doesn't bring its steadily rising virus numbers down quickly. It is among the areas of the country facing this perfect storm. And what they say is the perfect storm is the combination of some schools returning to in-person instruction, Labor Day travel, and cooler fall weather. And I wanted to ask you, Doc, about this this cool weather factor. How does that influence this pandemic? And, I'm confused about I thought it didn't really matter whether the weather was warm or cold as far as how the virus is spread.
Yeah, when they're talking about the cooler weather, what they're concerned about then is the influx of influenza cases. We know the influenza virus does much better in cooler weather and cold weather. That's why we see it a lot more in the winter than we do in the summer. So they're looking at schools opening. Our rates, unfortunately, for the last 4 weeks have been going up, where the rest of the country is going down. Flu season coming. People haven't had their vaccines yet because the flu vaccination, timing is a couple of weeks away. And at this time of the year, Bob, we were hoping that our COVID numbers would be extremely low and then have a second surge. We're still in the first wave here, so it is a perfect storm, and we'll see what happens. We've had some complacency with testing, and I'm just kind of afraid that this could be a bad fall.
One of the things in this report mentioned that it's a different type of transmission of the virus in summer with those warm, humid temperatures. Can you explain that?
Yeah, humidity allows the particles to go a little bit further. And then, now as we get into this drier area and people are going to be more inside and more congested, another reason why influenza is transmitted so much in the winter. We expect the same would happen with COVID. When we're outside and there's air blowing and we can easily physically distance, that's great. But now once it comes to the colder weather, we start to get inside, and now we're talking about distances that this can go further because the air is so dry. You think about thinner air, not as much humidity in the air. Now that 6 foot distance may be projected to 8 to 10 feet because of the humidity issue of not slowing down the transmission in the air.
That and the fact that we're going to be stuck inside more.
Yep.
I don't know what the restaurants are going to do as far as outdoor dining. Wow, that's scary. So your message to people, get a flu shot, correct?
Absolutely. This is 1 year we're going to ask everybody, please step up and get a flu shot for a couple reasons. One, it's the right thing to do to protect yourself. Two, we are going to have mass confusion. I shouldn't say confusion. We're going to have a lot of people who are going to have symptoms that are similar to COVID, that are influenza, that now we in the health profession are going to have to sort out. So we're going to start to use a lot more tests and a lot more assets of the hospital in this health system as we're coming into an infectious season with two potentially major infections out there.
Is it going to be difficult for you and your colleagues to differentiate between patients who have COVID-19 and people who have the flu?
Well, we have good tests for influenza, so we're going to be able to do it, but the symptoms are so similar. Someone come in with fever, they can come in with body aches. COVID has such a wide range of symptoms. Influenza, fever, cough, body aches, similar. So, and in the past, we've seen, obviously, many people get influenza because our influenza rate of getting vaccinated is less than 50%, and the vaccine is not always 100%. So this is one year we're really going to, I hate to say keep our fingers crossed, but we almost have to.
The country as a whole, for about a month now, has seen those positivity rates declining, right?
Yeah, we are we're the anomaly here. For the past 4 weeks, the United States has seen a decreasing rate. Now, let's not all get really happy about that. We have to remember that we were hitting some big peaks, you know, a month ago. So certainly we would have expected that, similar to what we've seen in Chicago. But unfortunately, Chicago and in Illinois, you know, we're as low as, I don't know, probably right around 3%. Now we're back, you know, we're creeping up again towards 5% overall, with some counties in double digits.
Yeah, and of course, more students, more kids, college folks are being tested these days, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, U of I. I think U of I is really going to come out of this as being the poster child for how to try to curtail this as much as possible. For those of you who are listening or who don't know, U of I is testing every student who's in Champaign. They're testing every student twice a week. You know, and they're using the saliva test so that the cost is down. Turnaround time is really just a couple of hours. So they're really going to stay on top of their students and try to find those asymptomatic individuals and then quarantine them. So they have quarantine rooms there. They have, I want to say, 400 quarantine rooms. So they're really staying on top of it. And I think U of I may show the rest of the country how we should be doing this in a college setting.
It's 6:49, back with Dr. Kevin Moll, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Doc, you know what? That conversation about the cold weather and how it's going to be a little more problematic with the pandemic. As soon as my wife finds out about this, we're going to be making plans to go to Miami, I'm sure. She's probably working on it right now. But actually, seriously, you might be better off in warm weather climates this winter, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Many people are saying that, you know, we try to get away from the warmth and humidity, but that may be the place to head this year. So I think you will start to see more and more people really start looking at the infection rates as the temperatures change here, and where are we going to have that first influx of influenza, and how are we going to slow the spread?
Does a humidifier help, do you think, when you're here in the dry winter months?
Oh, absolutely. You know, humidifier is great. You know, have a humidifier in your house for many reasons. If you think, again, of our symptoms for COVID, you know, scratchy throat, dry throat, you know, we get those in the winter because the humidity rates drop so low. So having that humidifier in your house, again, will shorten that distance that the virus will carry as well. But again, you're going to be living in your pods at that time, but you would hope that office buildings and restaurants and other facilities really do make sure that their humidity is at the proper level.
And is it just me, or is it every week there's a new report saying that 6 feet is just not far enough?
Yeah, you know, it's the 6 feet, 15 minutes is what the CDC started with a long time ago. And now we really are starting to see, is this really closer to 8 to 10 feet in 15 minutes? The person who wants to be the most cautious, 10 feet, 15 minutes is going to be the number. And again, those were estimates if you were not wearing a mask. So if both individuals are wearing a mask, really, you know, you could probably even be much closer than that, but we're still going to reinforce that 6 feet. 6 feet, 15 minutes is some pretty intimate time if you think about that. So, you know, we can decrease this spread if we're just a little bit smarter.
Let's get to a couple of listener questions. Can you ask Dr. Most about a rash that comes with COVID? No one ever mentions it. Is this a symptom?
Yes, it's a symptom more in pediatric patients so than it is in adults. We see a pediatric patients that have this kind of weird rash, but not a lot of cases of it, which is good because that's all we need is one more symptom to check off, you know, that's a possibility for COVID. So we have seen it in the pediatric patients, and it's very similar to other illnesses, but rare, which is good. So not so much a concern with rash, not so much a concern with any skin infections with COVID.
We had a question about the University of Illinois saliva test and when it will be available. How soon is that going to be widely used, Doctor?
Yeah, I think between the U of I test and the Yale test, both of them were made what we call open source, so that people can now take their essentially their recipe and make those tests available. I know Northwestern is looking at it right now, and I can assure you that every major institution is, and you will start to see some commercial individuals as well. So the saliva test, fairly accurate. I wouldn't say it's the absolute most accurate, but again, something that you can get a turnaround test in 2 hours and only cost of $4 versus the tests that we're doing now that have a cost closer to $100. So really could be a blockbuster along with the new Abbott test that came out, the Binax, which was just announced this weekend.
And when you hear these stories about the CDC, possible pressure on the CDC to move the vaccine testing along, I hope that nobody is going to compromise safety. What's your opinion on the latest news on that, Dr. Most?
Yeah, two disappointing things out of the CDC. One is their testing guidelines saying that non-vulnerable asymptomatic close contacts of individuals don't need to be tested unless the doctor wants to. So hopefully the healthcare individuals will step up and continue to test and identify those. Probably what's more disappointing and concerning is the potential fast-tracking of this vaccine. And I say that because we know that a lot of people aren't going to take it, so let's make sure it's as safe as possible. So if you're going to say, hey, we're going to kit this vaccine out before we have all the data, is that going to turn even more people off? And all we need is one misstep. So I would hope that the FDA looks at that and makes sure that they're looking at some good phase 3 data before they let it go, because we have one good shot at this to gain the confidence of this country and to gain the confidence of the world that this vaccine will help us get out. So let's make sure we have a good, safe vaccine before we start using it.
It's my understanding from what I've read and heard that the fast tracking had to do with providing money to these drug companies earlier than what they would normally do. They would normally wait for certain testing and then give companies money. But they just gave all these companies all this money ahead of time, knowing that some of these vaccines weren't going to work out. But the government gave the money to the companies anyway. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's part of it. Absolutely. So you have to remember that, you know, once the vaccine is approved, now we start to go into production. Well, a lot of these companies are saying, hey, you know what? We had some pretty good phase 2 results, and actually we have some pretty good phase 3 early results as well. How about giving us some money now? And we will start production now. So the goal would be that in January or February, that not only do we have a vaccine approved that looks to be safe and effective, that we also flip a switch and a truck backs out with 100 million doses already made because they're currently making them now. A few companies actually rolled the dice on their own money, and the others now are stepping up saying, how about some federal dollars so that we can start producing this vaccine because our results look pretty promising. Here's the results we've seen so far. And then the FDA says, okay, those look pretty promising. Let's release some money to you.
Let me squeeze in a couple more questions from listeners here. At what age should someone start getting the high-dose flu shot? 65? Younger than 65?
Yeah, I go younger than 65. I think our immune system really starts to drop off probably into our 50s. So really, I would say anybody over the age of 50, go ahead and get that high-dose vaccine. And please, anybody really over the age of 60, if you get to the pharmacy and they say they're out of the high dose, find another pharmacy. This is 1 year you want to make sure you get the high dose vaccine.
And one more about asymptomatic people. Do they spread the virus less? Is that what we are learning?
Well, they will spread the virus less, but it's interesting. The reason I say that is the people who are symptomatic, coughing, sneezing, are actually expelling, you know, obviously more just by velocity. But we do know that the asymptomatic people are spreading it because complacency is down, and in those individuals, I don't have any symptoms, I think I'm fine, so the mask might come off or they might be closer to people. So we know that they still have a very high viral load, may not be as high as those with the true symptoms, but they certainly seem to be one of the reasons that we're having so much spread.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Thanks, Doc. Look forward to our Monday morning house call next week. Remember the good old days when we just talked about the flu and colds and things like that?
Yeah, talked about different screening and talked about fun things. Yeah,
maybe,
hopefully soon.
Maybe. Yeah, have a good day.
Take care.